News Radio 690 KTSM presents the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It would be a Merry Christmas.
It's a Merry Christmas Eve.
How you be, young lady?
I'm alive and well and ready for Christmas.
So you've survived so far getting to December 2-4?
Yeah. Oh. Especially driving around in this traffic the last couple of days.
It's raining.
Slicing my wrists in the middle of the road.
It's raining cars. In fact, frankly, we probably have a few folks out there right now saying, okay, you idiots, you're sitting in a nice studio. Quit talking about it. But I was out there yesterday, and it like a lot of people. So we have that on our hands today, being Christmas Eve. New Year's is a little low. Later in the year, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
Let's do our standard thing here as we do, because Texas history beginning in El Paso is the reason that we are leading Texas with history.
That's right.
Self-defined right there. But you got your basic 690 AM out there on KTSM and where else?
Or you can go get the iHeartRadio link via ktsmradio.com or just Google it. And you can take us with you everywhere you go on your smartphone, your tablet, your computer. You'll never miss another show.
Well, we got trivia today, do we not? Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. And we've got an option today for the prize for the correct trivia answer, $20 in food coupons from Pepe's, which is where we're going to go for lunch today.
Christmas Eve lunch at Pepe's.
Or one El Paso Gold DVD. And there's a gazillion of them on the other side of the room.
Well, one of them there is the recent one we did, the Women's Club of El Paso. And while you may think that's just a PR piece, it is not.
No.
It is a history piece because that crowd was very involved in the history of El Paso.
Oh, they're very, very much involved.
They still are.
Yeah.
What else you got there? Give away something.
Well, you've got the McGoffin Home Ghost Stories Volume 2 and 4. Gunfights the Old West, Tom Lee's El Paso, The Smelter, and that's it. There's another few. You've got Rosa Guerrero's 80th birthday, and the last tour of The Smelter we talked, and the Women's Club. So we got all kinds of goodies today.
We got that to give away today, and also, just to let you know, we will have the remaining Asarco chips.
Yay.
And somebody said, well, you need to explain what is that. It's a piece of the stack.
Mm-hmm.
When the stack hit the ground on April 13th, 2013, it shattered like glass.
The collectible.
Tiny little pieces everywhere, and it wasn't anything very big at all out on that field. I got into it, took a couple of buckets home, and they said, have them, just wash them off, which we did. We put them inside an acrylic box, glued down there so you can't really get to it, unless you really want to. But it's inside an acrylic box. It's a chip from the stack, the orange pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Can't miss it.
Kind of like the Berlin Wall, only local.
Well, see, the Berlin Wall, my wife brought me a piece of the Berlin Wall, and I said, I could have found this out in the driveway.
I would like to have had one of those.
But you could have been from the driveway. This has the paint on it. You can't miss this one. All right.
Can we get some salsa with the chips?
Oh, look who's here. It's Santa Bernie. Bernie. Oh, that's right. It's a Bernie show today. Bernie, how in the world are you?
I am great, and I hope everyone else is feeling the Christmas spirit.
Bernie Sargent is in the house, and I really want to thank you for coming in here. On one hand, to say thanks for what you've done. On the other hand, why don't you tell us what you've done? Because this has been a most unusual year, and the idea for this program today, I wanted to just have you sort of summarize for us what has been going on in El Paso, Texas, about historic preservation.
Amazing things have transpired, especially in the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
With regards to the city's desire to place a multi-purpose events center in the middle of one of the most historic sites in El Paso. We have a handful. You know, you've got Hart's Mill, Oñate's Crossing. We have the McGoffin Home. We have the Missions in Presidio. And we also have the original location of the very first settlement in El Paso city limits. And that would be where the
Ponce's
Rancho was located. And it was just adjacent to where they wanted to place this arena. And we managed to, slow it down, if not stop it. We're hoping we've stopped that penchant for putting it right there at that location. We think we have. But, you know, city council being city council and pressure being brought to bear upon these individuals, it's not over, but we think it's about 90% shut down.
Well, the problem with that kind of situation is you're dealing with people who are voting on something that they don't know anything about.
You're absolutely right.
The ignorance of the city council blew me away when they said there was absolutely nothing going on historically in that location. And that's, I'm not dissing them for it. I'm just saying you do not know what you're voting on.
Oh, absolutely. And it's something that, you know, there's a lot of misinformation or information flying around here right now about those meetings that were held. And I was part of those meetings, yes.
I've seen you in that same cowboy hat with a Santa hat on top of that.
Yeah,
in the newspapers.
Yeah, you betcha. Yeah, Santa had to show up for those. But it was interesting because in talking with the city council representatives that were involved with it, and we were invited to participate in a – it started out to be a breakfast meeting just talking about history and what that site was all about. They were all amazed because they didn't know. And they said, we should make it a point to have all of the city council representatives going forward understand the history of our community. And I hope they follow suit because there's a ton of it. And as you say, every Saturday morning, it begins in El Paso.
Well, here's the problem with this whole thing is how we're taught as students and children here in El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
I was never taught anything about the Mission Trail, about Keystone Heritage Park, about the history of the gunfighters. I was taught none of that, and I went through 12 years of El Paso Public Schools.
And that was just in the sixth grade.
I did all that in the sixth grade. And so having survived that and left town, I was one of those departees that there's nothing to come back to. Why should I think about mm-hmm. this place? Because nobody had ever told me about whatever happened here. So I finally got out of my Washington, D.C. attitude, showed back up here to see what was going on, and I found people like you on television. This is what happened. I popped up the TV, and there's Bernie looking at me.
God forbid.
No, it was great, because what you were doing, you were saying, well, there's a 5,000-year-old village under the desert out here in Keystone. Why didn't we consider saving it? A guy had just bought all the land and was going to put warehouses all over it. To heck with your history. And I went to one of your meetings because I saw you on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, what's going to happen here? And there was one lady there who said, well, we're going to chain ourselves to the bulldozers and defy them. And that woman still exists, but she didn't win.
Nope.
What you guys did, you said, well, why don't we buy it from the developer and turn it into a park?
Mm-hmm. Well, and actually it was twofold. You actually got the land saved from the railroad initially.
Initially, yeah, that's true, because the railroad wanted to put a switching yard there a couple years before you came back.
Oh.
And we fought that and did the impossible in the community of El Paso in Texas. We did the impossible in that we stopped the railroad from doing something that they wanted to do.
And they land anywhere they want to.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But we also found in working with the railroad, there is a negotiation point. And I think that's a message I'm trying to take to the city now. You know, when we talk about alternate locations for the Special Events Center, we should be sitting down and talking with the railroad face-to-face and not listening to people saying, yeah, I think that they said this, or I know they said that, but you know, nobody has concrete evidence that anyone ever said, okay, railroad people, let's sit down and talk about this.
Well, we'll see how this turns out. At this point, I would just recommend that it's because of the lack of education of people on city council that they did not know what they were dealing with.
Yeah, and it goes back to what I've said many, many times, the brain drain that everybody looks at for El Paso. You know, if we had more esprit de corps, if we had more spirit, understanding of the history and the background of El Paso, even predating this situation with Ponce's Rancho. I mean, going back to Keystone and beyond, there is a ton of history here, and our kids need to learn that, and the parents need to learn it so that we can tell our friends around the world what we have to offer.
There's a bottom line in that, and that's called heritage tourism.
Yep.
And if they show up, because we're on I-10, 17 million vehicles pop through here,
mm-hmm.
what if we get a 1% of them stopping off to see our tourism sites?
There is absolutely no reason why Tombstone should get more visitation than El Paso, Texas.
They're 40 miles off of I-10.
Yep.
Each way.
Yep.
And so here we sit with I-10 down the middle of us, and none of those people know who we are. That's the problem. And the way things have been developing in this town, when I moved back here in 97, I took a serious look because I'd gotten into the history stuff in D.C., I was making videos about how George Washington took a boat across the river and laid a cornerstone at the Capitol, and that was the beginning of Washington. I did videos on all that. So I got to think of what happened in my hometown. I remember we got these missions down the valley, so I moved back, started looking into it, and I was flabbergasted about what has gone on. And I didn't learn any El Paso history of any depth till I was over 45 years old. And again, you'll say that was in the sixth grade. But no, but I mean, the point was, I was not taught this. The history in El Paso is taught in fourth and seventh grades in EPISD, but it's Alamo history.
Yeah.
It's not El Paso history. It's what happened in the rest of Texas. And when they decide what happened in the rest of Texas over in Austin, we never get mentioned. Which is why I took an attitude like, Texas history begins in El Paso,
yep,
and we can prove it. So that's where we're at now here in El Paso, and I think we have maybe turned the corner with the public realizing how vast the history is here. That is what you can use for economic development, and these fools are chopping it down.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I understand the penchant for the deep pockets, as they're referred to, for wanting to put as much as they can downtown. But at the same time, I just wish they would understand. You've got folks that are going to be restoring the Camino Real now, Paso del Norte Hotel. And why are they restoring it back to its original vision, or the way it used to look? Because it's a great-looking building. And yet, next door, across the street, they want to tear it down. It doesn't make sense. You know, you got a wonderful neighborhood, the First Ward, the original location of El Paso, where the Chinese lived, where a lot of the railroad workers lived. It was just a wonderful location, a vibrant community.
Well, you were talking about Ponce's Ranch. Where was that located?
That was right about the corner of Paisano and El Paso.
And then is that the same – Duranguito? Thank you.
Yeah. Well, Duranguito comes from the name that a lot of the folks that moved up from Mexico were from Durango area. And so they identified as Little Durango.
And there's a street in there?
There's Overland, there's San Antonio, there's Leon.
Where's Durango Street?
Durango Street's there.
There you go.
There you go.
So that section of town, while you are sitting in your ivory tower looking to buy something and tear it down, that looks like there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an economic tourist and you roll in here and say, let me see that neighborhood you people saved.
Yeah.
And then they'll come and look at it and realize why it was saved. And the point is, I mean, it's almost to the point that these people are economic bullies.
Mm-hmm.
They think they have the money, they've got the buildings, they get to say what happens. And it really upset me when they said we couldn't come from another part of town and have an opinion on that location.
Right.
Give me a chance and I'll vote you out of office.
Well, there was one person had written a letter, I'm not going to mention names, but had said something to the effect that if you don't have a house there, if you don't live in that neighborhood, why are you complaining? Why are you wanting to save it? Yet this person lives in a very nice house somewhere else.
And that person wants me to come down there when they build it to put my money in it,
mm-hmm,
and use it on a given day as an arena.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do that if they don't kill history.
Well, and another thing about the downtown district is the changing of buildings, even the changing of businesses over the years in the same building, not much change, or they may upgrade it, or like Trost came in and upgraded some buildings that had been there for
sure,
a long time, like the Mansion House, which initially everybody remembers it today as being a bordello. Mm-hmm. But that was not its original picture,
That's
was it?
One thing it did.
No, it was a boarding house, and it was occupied by a lot of the railroad workers, and there were police that lived there for the first couple of years. It morphed or metamorphosed into a bordello, but it didn't start out that way.
But later on, quite a bit later on, mm-hmm, it wasn't just within a few years.
Yeah, it was about 5 or 10 years.
And to the remark I heard at city council, well, why should we be saving something like that? Well, that's because that's history.
Well, and that
and you don't get to judge whether that's good history or bad history. That's what I want to tell them.
Well, the Mansion House was also an influence of San Francisco, California architecture.
Oh, yeah.
The people that built it there based it on some of the really fine boarding houses in San Francisco and brought that to El Paso. So there you go, another influence as to bringing El Paso up to standards in different ways.
And whether you like the idea of a bordello being saved and turned into a tourist attraction.
It's a building.
It's your problem. We need it as history because we know the tourists will come see it.
But it's a building, and it tells the story of people regardless of what they are.
So I mean, the ignorance, again, just listen up, people, and I'm sorry that you were not taught El Paso history, city reps, when you were in our schools. That's one thing. That's why this radio show is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We're not the stars. The history is a star.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And when people realize what happened in their own neighborhood, in their own town, they say, oh, my God, I got to listen to more. And so that's why this show keeps going.
You know, it's interesting because over the last couple of weeks, many times I've been stopped in, you know, like at Lowe's and Home Depot and Walmart and all those stores.
You're recognizable now, yes.
Yeah. And people will thank me for the work that that I've done to help preserve this. It's not just me. I'm just one cog in the wheel. There's many people, like Max was very instrumental in helping the folks out. And you had David Romo, Yolanda Leyva, you had Mike...
The guy in the house?
The guy in the house.
The Rock House?
Rock House, yeah. And I keep drawing a blank with him. Great guy working his butt off for this. And then Gilbert Keane. All these people and all of the neighbors that lived there. And it wasn't until people were physically being removed from their properties that it finally got the attention of some of the city council representatives, pulling at the heartstrings, saying, well, wait a minute, what are we doing here?
Well, I know that crowd in the Segundo Barrio area and also those who care about it, like Leyva and Romo, et cetera, they were all upset initially. What they found out was, so were we.
Yeah.
Everybody else in the historical community said, wait a minute, you can't do this.
It's our history.
Well, we were supporting them in
Absolutely.
Their fight to get this saved. So,
oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
far, so good. And I applaud the efforts, and I plead to city council, learn your history, and you will not have to repeat this mistake.
Sure.
It's a mistake. So thank you for correcting it, Bernie. Now, you're sticking around for like the 2 hours we're going to talk to you.
I am.
He better, because he's my ride home.
Everything going... Oh, he's the ride to Pepe's.
Oh, there you go.
Everything going on, we're going to start all the way back to city council in June of, what, 14?
Mm-hmm.
When they did not do a survey.
That was July.
July?
Yeah.
That was my first clue that there's something smelly going on down there, and it took a year to figure it out. We knew what it was, didn't
mm-hmm.
we? Mm-hmm. All right, taking a break, doing some trivia. What you got?
I think so.
Okay.
Got trivia? We've got trivia. And our first question was, or is, I should say, it's a multiple choice. Was the mansion house originally built, what was the mansion house originally built to be?
I know what it was.
A boarding house or a bordello?
Oh, is this an either or?
Yes, it's an either or.
So if you don't get it, then the next guy gets it?
That's right.
What do they have to do to win something?
They need to call us at 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Do you spend your nights going to the bathroom instead of sleeping? Can't sit through a movie or have trouble going? If so, you might be suffering from an enlarged prostate. If you suffer from a weak stream, frequent urgency, discomfort during urination, or even a diminished sex drive, then listen to this. There's now a major breakthrough to help get these problems under control. It's Prosvent, a doctor-formulated blend of natural herbs and nutrients specifically designed to help promote the health of your prostate. It's so effective, relief is guaranteed within 30 days.
This is wonderful stuff, remarkable stuff. I wish someone had told me about it sooner.
To get a free bottle of Prosvent with your order, call 800-227-7003 or go to yourfreebottle.com and enter iHeart at checkout. Remember, call 800-227-7003 or go to yourfreebottle.com. That's 800-227-7003. Supplies are limited, so call 800-227-7003 now.
Remember recess? That time of day when you let loose, hung out with your friends, and didn't have a care in the world? Well, it still exists inside every bag of delicious Wise Cheese Doodles. Cheddar Puffs, Crunchy Doodles, White Cheddar Puffs, and new products like Cheese Doodles Extreme, Queso Habanero, and Mix. Get a bag, tear one open, and enjoy recess again. We double dog dare you. Find Wise Cheese Doodles at your local retailer or find us online at cheesedoodles.com. Cheese Doodles. Recess in a bag.
Wednesday, January 4th. It's back. The worldwide announcements of our 2017 iHeartRadio Music Awards nominees. The biggest artists of the year, all on one stage. It's the only award show that celebrates the artists and songs you love and will be broadcast live on TBS. Listen Wednesday, January 4th at 7 a.m. for the full list of nominees. Then, let the voting begin.
I love Christmas traditions. Decorating the tree, hanging stockings, watching the kids bob for pineapples. What, you don't do that? Well, here's a new holiday tradition for you. iHeart Christmas Classics. All the classic Christmas songs you love 24 hours a day. Right on your iHeart Radio app. All your favorite music, all your favorite stations, all free. Use our iHeartRadio app today or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
Using TrueCar, you can easily find the car you want. TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, a lot of things going on today. We're going to go to Pepe's for lunch. I got some of those chips left to sell.
Cheeps,
$27 includes tax. It's the most unusual gift in town.
That's right. And free salsa.
Salsa and queso.
But you have to ask for that. We're just going to sell
it. Red and green.
And that's going on today at Pepe's. We'll be out there. And Pepe's is going to close today, Christmas Eve, at 4.
Mm-hmm.
They're dark until the new year, like about the 3rd or 4th.
That's right.
And then they're going to come in on the 7th and be our guests on the radio show.
Yay.
Explain their history, because Pepe's got some history out there.
That'll be good.
It's got historic chips and things of that nature. Well, today we're going to sell some historic chips.
Good.
So there. Also, holiday sale today, El Paso Museum of Archaeology, their gift shop. I'm doing my best to push the gift shops at the MCAD places. It's kind of hard sometimes, but we invite you to take advantage of our ongoing holiday sale and museum gift shop. How fast can I read this? Where you can save between 20 and 50% off of regular prices. That's on selected books, mugs, tumblers, Anasazi pattern plates.
Right.
You want one of those, don't you?
An Anasazi pattern plate?
I want one.
I have some Anasazi paper.
Oh, well.
You've seen my Indian collections.
So. This is through the 31st of mm-hmm. December, and they got stuff down there. Give them a call out there, Museum of Archaeology.
And then also, if you've got family in from out of town, or as a family, you're just, the kids are home, you want to do something, get out and exercise and wear off some of that Christmas dinner, on the 29th of December at 12 noon high, they're going to have a hike up Cristo Rey, and it's a great opportunity for your family members from out of town to get a chance to see El Paso from a whole different perspective.
It's great up there.
It's wonderful,
this
yeah.
This is the history hike.
And it's a guided tour, so they'll be telling you information on the way up the hill, and it starts, like I said, at 12 noon at the base of Mount Cristo Rey over off of
McNutt Road.
Yeah, McNutt Road, which you can get to from Sunland Park Drive.
Call TxDOT.
Right, call TxDOT. Ah. Call TxDOT. And it's only $5 for adults and $3 for children, and all the proceeds go to benefit Mount Cristo Rey Restoration Committee, who is a great group of volunteers led by Ruben Escadon Jr. and so many others.
Ruben is the PIO
guy.
There are so many other guys over there that actually take the shovels and wander up and down the hills, and they are to be commended for what they're doing, because they don't get paid for that.
Has he ever married anybody on the top of Cristo Rey?
I think he has. Because Ruben is a wedding minister as well. All right, to the phones here, we got Dorothy and Betty. Betty, Betty's second, so Dorothy's first. Betty, don't hang up. We got a second question. Dorothy, we got a question for you. You got one for us?
Yes.
What?
No, I don't have a question. In that case, what is the question?
The question
was, what was the mansion house originally built to be? A boarding house or a bordello?
A boarding house.
Yes.
Yay! She's a smart lady.
And there's the history right there.
Yeah. It was a fine upper-scale boarding house. Like you were saying earlier, it was similar to ones you found in San Francisco.
Oh, how nice. And cool. Well, you get something to take home here. You got a DVD or a Pepe's? What you need?
Pepe's, please.
Pepe's. $20 worth of Pepe's is a good thing. And that's a good restaurant. Go today mm-hmm. by 4 o'clock or wait till next year.
Yes. Or wait till next year.
Well, they're going to take a little vacation. They work very hard at that restaurant.
Restaurant business is tough business.
It's a family restaurant. My mm-hmm. goodness. They get to take a lot of time to do stuff. All right. Hang on there, Dorothy. We'll put you on hold. Shelley will come tell you how to pick up that prize. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you for playing
Merry
here.
Merry Christmas.
Right. Moving on to Betty. Betty, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you been?
I called for that first question, but she got it.
All right, we got another question for you.
Well, I'll try.
Here it comes.
What was it after it was boarding house?
No, Bernie.
Just a thought.
Hello.
Question two.
Question two is, where was the original Ponce de Leon Rancho located? Name the streets or the neighborhood, what it's called today.
Convince Melissa you know where it is.
First of all, I cannot hear you on my phone. I don't know what the problem is. Could you repeat that?
Okay. Where was the original Ponce de Leon Rancho located? Name the streets or the neighborhood that it's called today.
Well, guys, I don't know that answer. Would you please teach me?
Are you ready? Drum roll, Bernie. Bernie, what's the answer?
That would have been in the neighborhood of Paisano on El Paso Streets, what is now known as Duranguito.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right where that is then.
Yeah, well, see? You didn't.
You all have a Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you
too.
Thanks for calling. Well, the whole point is that's the footprint.
See, now there's something that a lot of people had no idea is that the names of those neighborhoods, we hear about them occasionally, Chiwita, you hear a lot of, but there's other little pockets of that too, of neighborhoods. I think this is great. There's your lesson right there.
Well, there's a lot to be learned if you'll simply look around and see what your fellow human beings are doing and not be too worried about their economic status.
Or listen.
Yeah, it'd be really nice. So there's that. All right, moving on. We want to thank the control room crowd, by the way. They're all festive looking in there.
You got
Festivus going on there. Shelley Sutherland's taking the call. Thank you, Shelley.
That's right.
And Sergio Valenzuela is on the board, as always. Thank you, Sergio. And after that, we'll take a break here and come back and do more of this, shall we? Call us up or Facebook us.
They can Facebook us today at the El Paso History Radio Show or call us at 915-544-5876, 544-KTSM.
Hi, I'm David Bellman, inventor of the Aquasonic Wave Jewelry Cleaner. We wear our jewelry every day. But can you remember the last time you cleaned your jewelry? You wouldn't wear the same clothes day after day and never clean them. Yet jewelry sits on our hands, gathering up harmful bacteria loads, testing 3 times greater than that found on a public toilet seat. It's time to get that nasty toilet seat off your finger and buy my Aquasonic Wave Jewelry Cleaner. The Aquasonic Wave will remove all of that disgusting bacteria on your jewelry and give you professional jewelry cleaning results, the best you've ever seen. Your jewelry will be bright, shiny, and brilliant, just like the day you bought them. No scrubbing, no mess, just fresh, clean, sanitized jewelry right in the convenience of your own home. So get that nasty toilet seat off your finger and clean it with the Aquasonic Wave Jewelry Cleaner today.
The Aquasonic Wave is a fantastic holiday gift. Order yours now at aquasonicwave.com. Enter promo code IHEART and receive free shipping, plus an extra 6 week supply of antibacterial hydrogel. That's aquasonicwave.com. Promo code IHEART.
Hi, I'm Russell Stover. Here at BMW of El Paso, we know price can be limiting when buying the luxury car of your dreams. Not at our store. Don't let expensive payments hold you back from your new dream machine. Now, drive the new 2017 X1 xDrive 28i for just $329 a month. Come on by 6318 Montana Avenue or see us on the web at bmwofelpaso.com. 778-9381. Just call, that's all.
36 month lease, no security deposit. $3,000 due at signing plus DT&L. Offer ends 11-3-16. See dealer website for details.
Being stuck with your wireless provider is kind of like...
Like a tongue stuck to a frozen pole? It's the worst.
So switch to Cricket Wireless and get the ZTE Sonata 3 free.
Free?
Plus, plans start at just $30 a month.
$30 a month?
Just switch to the merrier carrier, Cricket Wireless, for a gift that keeps on ringing.
It keeps on ringing. Ha!
Limited time offer requires port and activation eligible service. Minimum $30 per month. First month service charge. You would sale. $30 plan not eligible for auto pay credit or group safe discount. Activation taxes, other fees, charges, restrictions apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Terms, features, and restrictions subject to change.
Life is about people.
Audiences are raving about collateral beauty.
We are here to connect.
It's hopeful and heartfelt.
He's reaching out to the cosmos for answers.
I don't even know what love is anymore.
It's like nothing you've seen before.
Life's a gift, and you're wasting it.
It's the perfect holiday movie.
Maybe it's time to live again.
Collateral Beauty, rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Now playing.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history.
Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, there's so many things going on here. We're going to tell you about a bunch of them. There is the stuff coming up in January. Here's your history lesson from the Southwest Chapter of Railway and Locomotive Society, meeting Wednesday, January 11th at Nono's Pizza Bar. Nono? Do you ever go to Nono?
Nono's.
Wherever that is.
Yes, yes.
6404 North Mesa. That's at 6 o'clock on the 11th of January. The program is the Pinkerton Detective Agency and the Railroad.
Ooh.
Oh, my. That sounds like fun.
They were quite the group.
Well, the Railroad History Buffs are all welcome. Anybody else as well? 591-2326. Harvey Girls meeting Monday, January the 9th. Union Passenger Station 2 to 4. That's 700 San Francisco. The program ends the Harvey exhibit at the Head Museum in Phoenix, Arizona. And I don't have any idea what that's a Heard Museum.
Heard.
It's a great museum.
Is it?
Yeah, we lived in Scottsdale for about 6 years, and we had the opportunity to go down
so
there.
This is that museum being explained,
it's
I guess.
It is a very nice museum.
All right, 591-2326. El Paso Corral of the Westerners. Now, that's an interesting crowd. January 20th, Country Inn and Suites in Sunland Park. Ben Lilly, legendary hunter and mountain man. Now, that's not Ann Morgan's. No. That's somebody else. But so there we go.
A picture in my brain. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Monday, January 16th. Okay, go.
Okay, now, a note to all of our KTSM listeners and our trivia prize winners. The radio station policy is that one person in a household may win a prize every 60 days. So since you know who you are and you don't play this trivia contest, if you have or if you've won in the last 60 days, please don't call. Open it up for someone else. The prize lady, who's the lovely lady that sits at the front desk here at KTSM, she's going to give you 10 business days to come and pick up your prize after you win it on the show here. And Shelley, of course, tells you how this works when you after you've won the prize. But remember that you have 10 business days to get here to pick it up, and they're going to ask you to fill out a form. And if you win two coupons at once, like both questions, you will now have to fill out an IRS form when you pick up the prize. So it's no big deal. It's just, it's keeping up with the paperwork. But, yeah, definitely every 60 days you can only win.
Oh, Ruben's listening to us. He said, thank you for putting the message.
Yes.
Hi, Ruben.
I told him, I said, how's dat?
Yeah, he responded. That's on Facebook. So we do take messages on Facebook.
Occasionally, if I'm not totally crazy,
well, it's a lot going on in here sometimes, and sometimes we just say, Facebook, what was that? So today's the day to talk about the history of El Paso in the recent past as far as preservation occurs. Bernie Sargent's here has been instrumental in this as the chairman of the El Paso County Historical Commission. There are two organizations in El Paso that start out with El Paso County Historical. One's a commission, and one is a society, and Bernie's been on the board of both, and you're the chairman of one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that, Bernie.
Explain?
Explain that.
To us.
Yeah, well, the society's a great group of people. They're doing a lot of nice things. They've got their headquarters at the old Burgess House on Yandel, and great place to go do a research at. I've spent some time there in the archives. They're digitizing everything, which I give them a lot of credit for, because they've got a ton of stuff there. And to be able to access it online will just make life a whole lot easier. And we, too, and the commission are trying to do the same thing. Now, we've been accumulating reports on studies that have been done in El Paso, dating back all the way to the 1920s survey that was done, a report that was done by a very well-known city planner. And from that point on, we're trying to put everything online so folks can understand what research has been done and who has done it, and what was suggested and what was ignored, because a lot has happened on both.
Have you ever been able to tabulate how much money the city has spent on all these studies for downtown? We could have built an arena out of that money right there.
Several arenas, especially when you take into consideration the cost of living increases over the years that have taken place since the first report was done back in the 1920s. But, as recently as 1998, there was an extensive study done with archaeological research, surface research, on the area that we were talking about where the arena was going to be placed.
Duranguito.
And lots of recommendations were made for the city to move forward to do historic preservation, restoration, etc., which was totally ignored. And then since that point, there's been a number of other studies and recommendations that have been made, which would go a long ways towards promoting heritage tourism in El Paso, which, by the way, in the state of Texas, is over a $2 billion a year industry.
Well, that's to define heritage tourism for somebody who says, what exactly?
That's when people would visit a location for the purpose of learning more about the heritage and culture of that location.
And the history.
And the history. Yeah, they go hand in hand. And that industry is the most profitable industry of all tourism industries by far. People will spend more than a day, they'll spend 2 to 3 days in a location studying the heritage, culture, and history of an area. And to that end, what we have chosen to do, and you know, it's nice, but it doesn't produce the same results, was to really hone in on the art side of El Paso. And that's all well and fine, but don't ignore the heritage, culture, and history of a community when it's more profitable, and it really lingers in a person's heart and mind much longer than seeing a beautiful piece of art, I think.
We have good local art. Tom Lee's an example.
Oh, yeah.
Gaspar Enriquez, a lot of people like that. They're exhibited at the museum.
Jimenez.
The Museum of Art downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And most of what we would consider, I think, the huge chunk of El Paso's trove of art is in that building.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit of the...
the Crest Collection.
The Crest Collection from Europe is huge.
Yeah.
And all of that being maybe like what we are as an art group,
mm-hmm.
that is about, I would say, about 5% of the value of what is our history. And the art collection is worth millions.
Yeah.
But the history is worth multiple millions. And this town has never tried to cash in on it.
No.
They're crazy.
No.
They're looking at all this money sitting there is how I see it. Every time you see history, it could turn into a heritage tourism event all over the place.
It hasn't been since the 30s that the city's actually tried to emulate and develop and promote the heritage, history, and culture of our community.
Well, when they've done it, the city's gotten involved in our history. They've done, I think, a poor job.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the equestrian statue at the airport.
Well,
that's not what that is.
And not too long ago, there was $92,000 spent on a study to build what we were going to call Old El Paso. And they had renamed it to Lone Star, Texas. And it was going to be downtown, approximately in the footprint of where the parking structure is on the south side of the Coliseum.
With
the
big star.
Center. Yeah, and it was going to be escalators and plasma screens. Which initially was going to be 40 acres out off of Anthony Exit Zero, and the property was ready to be donated. Their developer was already in place.
That's right.
Yeah, and a city council rep said, we won't support anything unless it's downtown. They rewrote the whole study so that it would be the Lone Star, Texas.
Well, I think it might be time now that the city and the people of us mm-hmm. get together and do this, and maybe push-shove has occurred. And they'll realize that the history is what can sell here.
Well, I've got to give our county commissioners and county judge a lot of credit.
Oh, my good, yes.
You know, we were talking briefly about the study that, the monies that the city received to do an overlay of Chihuahuita, El Segundo Barrio, Duranguito, and the downtown El Paso
official
area.
Official study.
An official study, which would only help the residents provide information in perpetuity of the history of their neighborhoods and their homes and the properties. And the city sent over $80,000 back to the donors that had they had solicited the money from. The county stepped in within a week and said, we will do it. Now, not only did they do that, but they've also allocated funding going into 2017 that will pay for economic development for the county, which includes a historic preservation officer, which they're interviewing for right now as we speak. And one of the first priorities out of the gate is to get the study going and to zero in on the Duranguito area and make sure that is the very first neighborhood that is looked at in this study.
I really wish that politicians, and that's all who they are, who are opposed to this, but they have the votes,
mm-hmm.
I wish they would really consider what they're doing is short-termed. Because if they kill a neighborhood, oh, they pull up a building, they've got the building. You turn that into something now we call downtown Las Cruces.
Mm-hmm.
They killed their inner core. They put up some plastic buildings, and nobody goes there.
No, they go to Mesilla.
Yeah, and so what you need to do, and that's because Mesilla has the history. What does it take to get through to these economic bullies? Because that's all they are. They're economic bullies. And get over it. And if we have to outvote them, I'm in. You know?
Well, that's something.
Okay, let me get off my soapbox, Bertie. Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, that's something for the voting constituency to remember next time around when people are running for office, what their position is. Not what they say while they're running, but what, you know, where were their heartstrings at prior to them announcing that they wanted to be a candidate for an office?
I look at the mirror building spot, and that's all I can think of is economic bullies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just really crazy. Good. Turn this down a little bit. I'm sorry. I'm getting kind of upset here. But this kind of angers me.
But you're not cursing. So
well, no. I mean, I have a button here. I can hit it. It's a curse. It says, if you hear profanity, hit this button.
It's the largest button on the council
it's
in
huge.
Front of him.
Anyway, but to the history, Bernie. Here come the surveys. The surveys were negated by the city. The county picked it up on a red letter date. I believe it was February the 8th of 2016.
That's when they voted for it, yeah.
They voted for the survey. Here comes the county doing the survey. And the first bit of it will go down into Duranguito, and we'll see what Ponce's Rancho looked like, maybe do an overlay, have people come and say, this was the first settlement, one of the very first settlements on the north side of the river. As Oñate came through here and turned on expansion of New Mexico, here wasn't really developed.
Mm-hmm.
Ponce came along, what, early 1800s?
1827. Yeah. He was an affluent individual over in Juarez. Well, actually, it was Paso del Norte.
The phones are ringing, by the way.
Yeah, and a very successful individual. So when he was soliciting to develop the land on the north side of the river, which, by the way, at that period of time, the Rio Grande River was roughly where Paisano is today.
Yeah, it was way up north.
Yeah. And we're thinking that the rancho, the building, some of the building stock for that rancho are below mud right now. So we're looking to get some ground-penetrating radar surveys done to do some survey work to find out what's below ground.
Can you imagine what you're going to find down there?
That'd
because we have some of the earliest settlements basically at that time of the American development.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've got Augie on the phone. You ready, Augie? Augie, you ready for us? Good morning.
Morning, gentlemen.
And lady.
Yeah, whatever.
Augie, where's your phone?
Yeah, Aug, okay.
Talk to us, Augie.
The reason I'm calling is because...
Augie, your phone's weird. Go find a spot and talk to
it's
us.
It's breaking up pretty bad.
How about now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, don't move.
Don't stop. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm talking...
Now he can't hear us.
We're talking to you.
Great.
You go ahead.
The reason I'm calling is because you guys hit a point that it's very dear to me, and I think has a lot of value what you're saying. I'm from California, Orange County, California.
Yay!
Surf's up.
Anaheim, at any rate. And I've been here about 6 years, I guess, 6-7 years now through the military, retired here from Fort Bliss.
What's
and
your thoughts?
I stayed here. So... One thing that it was very hard for me to understand the border El Paso living mentality, how things are done or lack of not being done. And I was pleasantly surprised how much history El Paso has. And you're right, it doesn't get exposed.
Oh, Augie, your phone's ill.
It doesn't get, it's not known outside of this area. As a matter of fact, a brother of mine from California, he came to visit me, and he was surprised, and he did not realize all the, Pancho Villa, Pershing, and the missions, and so forth.
Yeah.
And when you guys are saying about how backwards we are in a certain way, I still don't understand why even the missions, we don't try to, or the city or the county, try to renovate them a little bit, to make them a little similar to maybe the San Juan Capistrano Mission, the San Luis Obispo Mission,
right,
et cetera, et cetera.
There's a lot. I mean, there's a lot to be done here, and we're trying to do it.
And well, I would like to get involved in some way.
Okay, here you go, Bernie. The meeting for the El Paso County Historical Commission in January is,
I believe, it's the 9th of January.
Or you can call him at 915-581-7920 and find out how you can get involved that way too.
Wait till he gets home.
Yeah, wait till he gets home. He's right now in the studio, so.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no, I think there's, I have not been able to understand how backwards we are with all the potential.
Yes.
That the city has, and it amazes me.
That's why we sit here every week and talk about it, because it amazes us too.
You know, and I mean, hey, I'm thinking of running the city council, but, you know, I need to borrow like $5 million from mayor.
Yes. Well, see, if you had $5 million, Bernie Sargent would spend it very judiciously.
He'd be living on your doorstep.
No, he'd be changing the opinions of everybody in the country.
I guarantee you guys I will give you guys a job in the city council. Doing
thank you.
I don't know what,
I'll
you
pass
know?
On that, but I'll take the historian job. Thanks a lot.
And anyway, gentlemen, thank
Merry
you very
Christmas.
Much for your time.
Thanks.
Doing the great job that work that you do, and I agree with you. I think we could bring so much income and revenue to the city.
It's huge. It's huge. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks.
You take care. It's going to be interesting.
I will say, though, you know, we've got people like Augie out there and others that are coming forth now. It's coming. Slowly but surely, it's coming. You've got the county interested, so it is an upscale. All this hard work is starting to pay off slowly but surely.
A lot of things are changing in El Paso. We've got a couple of announcements coming up after the break. We'll tell you another couple of exciting opportunities happening here. And 544-WHAT?
544-5876. 544-KTSM.
Back in a moment.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the one and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Did you know that identity theft goes beyond what you can see on a credit report and what your bank can alert you to? Identity thieves can open new accounts, rent or buy properties, drain your 401k, and even file fake tax returns, all in your name. And because identity theft goes beyond what you'd expect, LifeLock does more than credit monitoring to help protect your identity. We use proprietary technology to alert you to a whole range of identity threats. And if there's a problem, one of our U.S.-based specialists will work to fix it. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but with LifeLock, you can feel beyond good knowing someone is looking out for you. Join now and get 60 days risk-free plus 15% off when you use promo code SALE15 at LifeLock.com. That's 15% off just for using promo code SALE15. Offer ends December 31st. LifeLock.
This holiday, the perfect gift for fans of a rough, tough sport. It's something really snuggly.
Get your favorite fan even more wrapped up in their favorite team with Denali Microplush College and NFL blankets from the Northwest Company and sold at EliteTeam.com. These super soft blankets are machine washable and 100% made in the USA. Elite Team, the official blanket of pure fandemonium. Go to EliteTeam.com and save 10% with promo code IHEART.
Wrap yourself up in your Cowboy or Longhorn team blanket at EliteTeam.com.
If you owe back taxes, there's a lot you need to know, starting with rule number one, don't mess with the IRS. They are cracking down this year by sending out heart-stopping letters, actively garnishing paychecks, levying bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. That's all true. But it's also true there's a way out. It's called the Fresh Start Initiative, an important government program for tax debt assistance. It's one of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered, so now's the time. You could qualify for a tax settlement that saves you thousands, even tens of thousands. Nobody knows this program like the award-winning experts at Optima Tax Relief. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and will work to get you the best deal possible. Don't mess with the IRS. For tax help you need, for tax help you can trust, call Optima for a free consultation.
Call 800-798-2477. 800-798-2477. 800-798-2477.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
iHeartRadio El Paso and Albertsons hope you can join us to help hungry children in El Paso. Did you know 1 in 3 El Paso children struggle with hunger? We've joined forces with Albertsons and El Pasoans fighting hunger, and we hope you will find it in your heart and wallet to help us provide 1 million meals to feed El Paso's hungry children. Please donate whatever you can when you check out at Albertsons this holiday season. And thank you from Western Technical College, Dark Horse Wines, El Pasoans Fighting Hunger, Albertsons, and El Paso's Children.
Now, more of the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive.
Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Here again, Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we got a couple of minutes before the top of the news, a couple of things to announce to you. We have a young gentleman who has been recently a reporter and an anchorman on KVIA-TV, and he's also been covering the same story we're talking about this morning. He's happened to drop by with a major announcement about your career. Andrew J. Polk, how are you?
Definitely, yeah. If have been an anchor and reporter, but no longer. Today was actually my last broadcast on KVIA ABC 7. Had a goodbye during the 8 o'clock hour. If you want to see it, I've actually posted the link up now on YouTube. You can find that over Twitter at Andrew J. Polk and Facebook.com/AndrewJacksonPolk.
I heard that name. Mm-hmm. You had a very busy show from 8 to 9.
Oh, yeah, we had a lot of stuff going on. I mean, we have, you know, trailer fires leaving people homeless right before Christmas. Geez, yeah. We have more developments with that Christmas bombing. But the history parts of the stuff I've covered recently, been doing some of the Union Plaza coverage, well, Duranguito, as we've come to know it now, as the history of it has been very interesting.
You've been also interviewing some of the city council people mm-hmm. who were in a meeting last week with some locals. Well, one of those locals is sitting here, Bernie mm-hmm. Sargent.
So hi.
I thought it would be interesting to get your two cents on what we've been talking about, and that is the fact the city council did what they did after they learned the history.
To be perfectly honest, it was the suddenness of the action was what really surprised most of us. I mean, city council has taken some very decisive and controversial actions in the past where they said, okay, we'll listen to concerns and then done it anyway. But the fact that they kind of backtracked on this, that they were willing to say, no, okay, there are concerns, let's move on, and then, you know, Courtney Nyland's emotional, moment on the stage there. It was interesting and not what we've seen recently. I thought the big challenge was going to be telling the people of El Paso why they should care about one little neighborhood right. and getting them to care about the history, which has been a challenge in the past. And it worked this time.
Yeah,
that was the
amazing
part.
Bernie, you've been putting some serious effort into this.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, along with a lot of other people, it's been a labor of love, so to speak, and love for the culture and the history of El Paso, and I learned a lot. I mean, we're constantly learning more and more about that neighborhood as we go forward. You know, some of the people that have lived there, the folks that have developed it, what it meant to El Paso, going back to 1827. So it's pretty exciting stuff.
It's interesting. That's the overlay of the original ranch, Ponce's Rancho.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was more over toward
the second one was
near the Mission near Pioneer Plaza. Is
yeah,
where
that
I
was the second
was.
One. The first one got flooded, buried in mud. That's why we hope to do the survey work.
They moved up the hills.
Yeah, moved up. It did. It did. But we really want to get a chance to get in there with some ground-penetrating radar and see what we can find.
Oh, yeah. Andrew J. Polk is here just for a moment and telling us about the ending of one part of his career, starting another one. We'll see in the new year what that's like. But as you have been reporting on this same story, what is your sense?
My sense is that maybe people in El Paso are finally starting to clue in, not just to the fact that we have history in El Paso, but that it's important, and not just because someone out of town comes and says, oh, this part's important, but that El Paso has good things that are important and have a lot to offer not only our city, but the rest of the region and the world. We have unique stuff here that no one else does. Like the history of the other more established parts of Union Plaza that people go to, the fact that you're really coming on what was the second story of some of those businesses because they kind of pulled the ground up around them because it flooded.
Yeah.
I've told that story to people and it blows their minds. Like, what? People don't know these things. And now that they're starting to learn them as more exposure like here is being brought to them, people are becoming more aware and more interested.
Well, I think the really interesting thing is we go back to the Mansion House mm-hmm. and one of the city council people that Bernie was talking to just said, oh, why do we want to save a whorehouse? And it's like, what? It's more than just that. And he got an education, and it was like, oh,
well,
really?
My first problem with that is, why is he deciding what's history?
Well, no, but I mean, see, but it was exactly what we're saying is he was not educated on what the neighborhood was about and what was beyond just this one building.
Well, he was working on opinion and not fact. That's the problem here.
Well, in those meetings that we were referring to earlier, it was brought up the fact that a lot of these people were depending on staff input. Well, the staff person that needed to give them the input when they made the decision to put it there was out of town. So the staff input they got from legal and other people was incorrect.
Well, staff already had their own opinions anyway.
Staff infection.
Oh, my God. Oh. There's that. Well, Andrew J. Polk, I wish you well on your next move on your career. You're gone from ABC 7, but I think new doors are going to open for you. We'll see how that turns out.
Certainly hope so, and please stay tuned. We'll have more.
I know your parents are proud of you.
I should hope so.
Yeah,
I would hope so, too.
Fair enough.
If not, they should be.
Yeah, we're going to talk to those people.
We're proud of you.
In the meantime, we got another hour. Bernie Sargent talking history coming up next here on the El Paso History Radio Show. Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
Thank you.
After a break.
Thanks for listening to the El Paso History Show. There's another hour to go, so please stay tuned. This hour is brought to you by Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Sargent Home and Business Inventories, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. We'll be right back after the news, right here on News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.